not thank them enough. A big thank you to the band and to all the greatest listeners and radio, you guys out there, for joining us all week long. Thanks to Maria Hartley for joining us. That was fun. We appreciate Maria being here with us. And Terry, thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll be back here with more Morning Magazine, Morning Show here at WFHR coming up after the weekend. This is WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The abortion issue is taking center stage in states across the country. Correspondent Wendy Gillette has our top story.
A Utah judge will consider today a request from Planned Parenthood to delay implementing a statewide ban on abortion, scheduled to take effect next week. The group operates three of four clinics in the state that provide abortions. In Nebraska, a six-week abortion ban failed to advance in the state legislature. A bill that would have banned almost all abortions was voted down in the South Carolina Senate.
All systems are go for another interest rate hike. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger with details on an updated inflation gauge.
This report puts the Fed on track to continue its rate hike campaign when it meets next week. Most economists believe we will get a quarter of a percentage point increase.
The core personal consumption expenditures price index rose 0.3%. That is the 10th increase in a year. In Ukraine, death and destruction after Russia fired more than 20 cruise missiles, killing at least 19 people, including two children. Many of the victims were in an apartment building in central Uman. Officials in Kyiv say Ukraine's Air Force intercepted 11 missiles and two drones headed for the capital. A tornado hit the Florida panhandle, ripping off roofs of homes, uprooting trees. The same system dumped hail on parts of Georgia. The Weather Channel's meteorologist Stacey Abrams says the rising Mississippi is causing problems elsewhere.
Water is inundating homes and businesses on the riverbanks of multiple states, including Iowa. The cause of the flooding? Melting snow from a winter that broke multiple records.
We've got about 20 inches of water in the basement. You're on the water, so you have to take the good with the bad.
The days of diesel-powered trains could be numbered in California. The state's Air Resources Board has approved a first-in-the-nation plan to cut emissions by banning locomotive engines more than 23 years old. They'd be out by the year 2030, community organizer Alfredo Angulo.
Yes, it'll cost them a lot of money, but what will cost us more money is if we continue with business as usual and continue our reliance on fossil fuels.
Overseas, the head of the BBC has resigned. A report found Richard Sharp failed to disclose a potential conflict of interest after he helped arrange a loan for former Prime Minister Boris Johnson 2 years ago.
I feel that this matter may well be a distraction from the corporation's good work were I to remain in post until the end of my term.
Sharp is a former Goldman Sachs banker and Conservative Party donor. Dow up 31. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Tide Power Pods have 85% more Tide.
Who needs that much more Tide?
Well, when giving your muddy dog a bath turns into you getting a mud shower, yikes, you're gonna need more Tide.
When your wine tasting becomes a wine spilling,
yeah, you're gonna need more Tide.
Or if your favorite shirt is your kid's favorite napkin. Greg, I'm gonna need more Tide. My mom gave me that shirt.
It's a mess out there. Tide Power Pods have 85% more Tide versus Tide Pods.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
To everyone who craves a fresh meal made just for you, let our team member Jacob share what's special about Culver's.
In Wisconsin, our food comes from the heart. And taking the time to handcraft your meal with care is how we've always done it at Culver's. It's why your Butterburger doesn't touch the grill until after you order.
Come to Culver's and let us serve you a Butterburger made special just for you. From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Culver's, 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Daytime highs approaching 68 this afternoon under mainly cloudy skies, southeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers. Tonight, lows level off around 41, partly cloudy skies. Scattered rain showers again. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 47, cloudy skies. A dusting of snow tomorrow night through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 52.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this April 28th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here at 10:05 on the clock. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in Craig Broren, superintendent with the Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools, Tracy Ginter, Wisconsin Rams principal, and students Melanie, Carter, and Maya are all going to join us. We're looking forward to having all them in studio and talking with them. Right now, looking forward to talking with a good friend of ours, Mike Rea. He is the executive director over at the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate the time. It's been too long since we got to talk, Mike. How have you been?
I've been great.
Good.
How are you been?
Good. Doing good. I was looking forward to any chance to talk with the ADRC. I always look forward to. I know we're going to talk about volunteer opportunities. We're going to talk about Meals on Wheels. And any chance to bring light to those things is fun. I was on your website doing a little homework, and I noticed that you guys do so many great things over there. And I don't feel like we get a chance to touch on them nearly enough. Would you mind, Mike, if we took some time and touched on some other things as well?
Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about that. So I can kind of dig in regards to a lot
sure.
of different things that we offer. And yeah, we do offer a lot of different services. Obviously, the one that people hear the most about probably is our Meals on Wheels program and our nutrition program. But we have a whole plethora of services that we can offer individuals. We always indicate that we want to be that that one-stop shop for anything related to aging or disability and the place to go to for people to go when they have questions or concerns or things that they need. So that can span a whole lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
So we have staff that are available that are really skilled at just helping you understand, you know, what's best for your situation, what may be some resources or supports that may be helpful and how to access those resources and supports, you know, what those services may cost and how to pay for them. You know, if people are having financial difficulties in regards to providing support, we also are the entry point into the publicly funded long-term care programs, you know, family care and IRIS. And so we also have, we provide individuals with support in regards to their benefits, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, private health insurance. They can be pretty complex. And if anybody that's been on Medicare before knows, there's lots of different rules that change all the time, and our staff are up to date and have that understanding of what those changes are and how to help guide and support people as they're making really important decisions in their life.
I was just going to say, one of the things that I noticed on your website, and that I don't think that we think of very often with the ADRC, is you know, these scam calls and some of these scamming things that are going on and affecting all of our society, but really taking advantage of our senior population. When I hear of scams, when I think of scams, I often think of reaching out to our sheriff's department or our police departments, and we certainly encourage you to do that. But reaching out to the ADRC is also another way to collect this information.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. And as you're aware, and we're all becoming more and more aware, you know, these scam experts are getting more and more savvy and more just able to reel us in. So, you know, always be cautious and aware. And yeah, we definitely would love to hear if people have experienced those different things going on. And it also helps us understand what's going on out there in our communities, because again, they're becoming more and more savvy and in their disguise of how they're contacting people as well.
Yeah, and one of the best weapons we have against this is the sharing of information and letting people know. We talk about this, Sheriff Becker and I, all the time when it comes to this subject. One of the ways that these cowards get away with this is relying on us feeling shamed and shame is a powerful weapon, and we know how hard it can be to overcome. But man, if there's anybody who's good at overcoming shame, it is our senior population. And I am so impressed with how a lot of these cowards are not getting away with this, because they're like, no, I'm not gonna feel bad about this, and I'm gonna share this information. Or even if I do feel bad about it, I'm going to still share this information and try to help out somebody else. That's absolutely. It's a definition of being a community member, but it's also something we get out of our senior population all the time, and I just appreciate so very much. That's all really good stuff, and we're not even close to the done with this, because I wanted to get to some of the events that you guys have coming up, some of the classes that you guys offer.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, we have, you know, we do a ton of different things, again, in regards to prevention and making sure that we're you know, helping individuals prevent illness or disease or injury. So we do have, you know, a lot of different classes that are coming up in regards to healthy living. We have a stepping on class. We also have classes in regards to being a savvy caregiver. So, you know, caregiving is something that I always like to touch on, because not most people that are caregivers aren't individuals that, you know, necessarily signed on to become a caregiver, or somebody that went to school to become a caregiver. A lot of times you become a caregiver because of an event or something that's happened with a loved one, and now you're there to support them, and you are a caregiver. So how to make sure that you're staying well for yourself and able to take care of that person the best of your ability. You know, we want to make sure that we're able to provide that support. So so just looking at, you know, some things that are coming up, you know, we currently have a powerful tools for caregivers, which is, you know, dedicated to helping support individuals who are caregivers and making sure that they're supported. Again, the stepping on classes, which is always a big thing in regards to preventing falls.
Yeah, it's really the ADRC and the interviews that I've gotten to do with you and your wonderful staff that has really helped me understand what a caregiver is. I thought, like many people out there, it's a job. And it's something that you go to school for and you become one, and et cetera, et cetera. And that is certainly a big part of it, and a big shout out and thank you to all the caregivers out there. But that also includes people that don't even realize they might be caregivers when you're taking care of a family member or something like that. This is a section of our society that needed some focus, and we're very fortunate that the ADRC and organizations like yourselves are doing that, are taking that powerful tools for caregivers workshop. I've heard from our community, I've heard from listeners, people that even come in for other things, Mike, and they end up talking about that class. It's just kind of cool. It's a very powerful class.
Absolutely. And, you know, and it has so many different resources and tools for people to make sure that they're successful with that. You know, the one thing that is also a big component of being a caregiver is that, you know, you forget to care for yourself, and then you start to burn out and start to get, you know, other physical things in regards to yourself as well, and then you're no help to that person you're caring for. So, you know, really making sure that you're understanding what it is to be a caregiver, how to be successful with that, and how to care for yourself is a big component.
Especially since we're on the topic, I always like to bring up this example of when you're on an airplane and they tell you, you got to put your mask on first. Every instinct in the world tells you to help put it on the person next to you, especially if it's your, you know, a relative or a kid or something like
that.
But you're both gonna, you know, if that happens, you got to put yours on first, then you can get theirs on. It's very similar to that. We love our caregivers and appreciate the heart that they have. And part of the reason they're so good at their job is because they put others first. But this is one of those scenarios you got to kind of put yourself, you know, 1A, 1B kind of thing there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Care for yourself. Otherwise, you won't be good for that person you're caring for. So, yeah, absolutely. I love that analogy, too, of the airplane and the mask. That's exactly right. You know, even though your tendency is to want to, you know, to do for the other person, you know, make sure you're caring for yourself first.
Another thing that you guys do over there that I really appreciate, it's in twofold the way I look at it. There's an Alzheimer's and dementia caregiver support group, which I don't think the audience or anybody needs me to get into too depth of how important that is and how great that is. Almost all of us have been touched by this, this horrible disease. And knowing more about it, having support for it is wonderful. I also love the memory screen clinic that you guys offer, that the Maryland yeah. Richmond Center. I think that is a really 1-2 kind of thing for this, that the ADRC does a lot of those kind of things with a lot of topics.
Absolutely. You know, and just to touch on those, so we have, you know, staff that are they're dementia care specialists. So they're really their focus is to understand and to be able to support individuals in regards to, you know, dementia and, you know, maybe being newly diagnosed or maybe there's some concerns with things going on. And they're there to be that support and to help people understand what's going on, how the process this goes. But also in regards to those memory screens, you know, I know we have an event coming up at the Maryland Richmond Center, but really we can do a memory screen at any point in time. And I know that can be a scary thought. You know, people are like, oh, I don't know if I really want to test my memory, but it really is an opportunity to develop, you know, what we call like a baseline. You know, where are things at right now? It doesn't mean that you're having any concerns or issues right now, but hey, we can see where things are at right now. And then, you know, you do one again in a year, and are they staying the same? Are they progressing? If there's, you know, some concerns, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden you have dementia. It just means that, hey, it's something we need to keep an eye on, maybe talk to the doctor about. There's a lot of different things that can cause, you know, memory problems. And I don't want people to think that instantly that's where it goes in regards mm-hmm. to a diagnosis of something.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that, and thank you for giving some details with that. And certainly there are other great events, other great programs that you guys have over there. I know we could spend a whole show talking about the classes, the events, a lot yep. of that. But I do Absolutely. Want to encourage people to check those out because there are so many great resources for you. Caregiving, they have different topics on Tuesdays. Mike talked about stepping on. We've talked about other things. And Medicare, too. That's the other one I wanted to make sure we mentioned. Boy, this happened a little while ago. My mom and dad, I turn around and they're getting Medicare and stuff. I didn't see that coming. It threw me for a loop and everything, and I think it threw them even for a bigger loop. And we kind of walked into this, and especially my mom. She loves to do her homework, research these things. I know she did her homework on this, and they were still like kind of blown away by how much they needed to know, how much things had changed from last year to this year. It's an important thing to be able to offer to people, and what a great resource that you can go to, and it's there for you. It's not as if you know you're going to get charged this amount of money or something like that for it. Like most of these things are offered by the ADRC are there to just help.
Absolutely, and free of charge. You know, I'm pretty passionate about all the things that we do, but I would encourage people that Medicare Basics class is amazing, especially if you're new to becoming on to Medicare, or if you've been on it. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the amount of changes or just the complexity of that benefit, you know, it can be very overwhelming. So that Medicare Basics class does a great job of just breaking down what is Medicare, what are the different parts of it, what is, you know, how to access it, all those different aspects. So, you know, if you're getting close to that age, you know, prior to the 65 age, and then even if you're already on Medicare, I would encourage people to attend that. And it is free of charge. And we offer it in all of our offices within our region.
Now we could talk about volunteering and supporting Meals on Wheels. Now let's, because I really do wanted to dive into this one. I know I've mentioned it a number of times, and I will continue to because I'm very proud of the work that they do with Meals on Wheels. When I was in California, I had time on my hands, and where I was filming, it didn't make sense for me to get on the bus and travel like 2 hours when I had to come right back and everything. So what do I do with these couple of hours? One of our caterers on set worked with Meals on Wheels, and she brought it up to me. And I'm like, oh, I've heard on Meals on Wheels. That's a cool program. What do you know? But I don't have a car. What can I do? She's like, doesn't matter. We can work with that. We can make it work. I'm like, okay. So basically, what I did for a good 6 or 7 months, somewhere around there, there were a couple of places that had meals delivered that were in walking distance for me. And I would just bop from place to place to place and drop off these meals. And I mentioned that I was walking doing it because the amount of time it took me to walk to a place was nothing. It was the time that I spent, what hold me up is talking to people. I couldn't get enough of these three individual people that I would talk to. They were all, didn't have family close by. They were, I don't want to speak for them, but they seemed a bit lonely. The conversations we had were some of my favorite conversations I've ever had with strangers. And they didn't end up strangers. We ended up being friends, all three of them. I ended up having great relationships with. I'll carry that with me the rest of my life. And absolutely. I would have paid the ADRC to do that. I'm not like exaggerating or just like throwing that out there. I seriously would have paid you guys to do that, let alone the opportunity to do this for free. This is... I really genuinely believe it's one of those things we can talk about. We can give everybody every single detail for. I encourage you, even if it's just a couple of times, try it. You will see what I'm talking about. You will see how impactful this can be, not just for the fan, not just for the person you're delivering the meal, but for you as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that that's one of the biggest values. I mean, this is really a rewarding, like you said, all the way around, this is a very rewarding opportunity. And honestly, we rely so much on volunteers to be able to support our programs, especially our nutrition program. And, you know, these are some of our most vulnerable people. You know, they're a lot of times, you know, really not able to get out of their homes. So they're pretty vulnerable. So this is an opportunity for them to have some socialization, to see somebody. You know, the meal is always kind of the secondary benefit. You know, obviously we want them to have a nutritious meal, but it really is the secondary benefit. They have somebody that, you know, talks to them, checks on them, sees how they're doing. You really get to know those individuals as you're doing those routes. So, you know, yeah, I would echo what you said. Give it a try. You know, we also, and if you don't want to, you know, maybe do the delivery of the meal, we also have individuals that we need for volunteer for support of setting up and getting the meals ready and even helping sites in our area. You know, down in Rapids is at the, Centralia site, helping there to help with those customers as well. So there's a lot of different ways that you can help support Meals on Wheels, even if you're not out actually delivering the route.
When I don't think we get a chance to do this very often when we talk about this subject. How many people does it take to make all these meals, to get all these prepped and ready? And how many meals are we talking? And if you don't have specific numbers, that's completely okay, Mike. I didn't mean to put you on the spot with it. But as I'm thinking about it, I'm hoping that this will encourage people when they understand how many people are already involved in this. And you could be one other person that can help with this.
You know, and I don't have those numbers off the top of my head, but I know it takes a village. You know, it takes a lot of people to be able to support this, you know, from taking, you know, we have catered meals coming up. They come in bulk, and we have individuals that have to divide the meals up into different sections, you know, and then we have to package those. We have to get them out into different route bags and then get them set out into the community. So it really takes a lot of people in a village to be able to keep this program working. And obviously, you know, we rely on volunteers to be able to do this operation successfully. And quite honestly, the more people that we have volunteer, the more people that we can serve. You know, we want to make sure that we have availability. You know, if we don't have the volunteers to be able to do the routes, then we can't, you know, create that route, and we have to limit what we can and can't do. So this is a huge impact. As you mentioned before, I guarantee you it will be as beneficial to you as the volunteers as it will be to the person that's receiving that service.
To piggyback off of that point, Mike, you know, because I think most of us understand, whether we agree to it or not, this is a part of society. Society is very similar to parenting. The job of a parent is not to do what a lot of us would like to do and just put our kids in bubble wrap and in a room and never let them experience anything negative in their life and everything. That's not our gig. Right. The gig as a parent is to prepare your kid to be able to fly out of that nest and handle the world. Society, we do this all the time. The younger generation is there. They're able to just focus on being young, learn, grow, find your voice, find a career, all that. Middle age, younger, we're here. We're workers. We're getting things moving. We're getting things done. Our senior population, you've done enough. Thank you for paving the way. Thank you for trailblazing. Thank you for doing this, this, and this. Let us help you now. It's our turn to take over and to do some things. This is how society works. It's how society has worked for thousands of years. Being a part of this is being a part of society. That alone, I would hope, would bring people to the table. No pun intended. I didn't mean to say it like that. But really, I really do hope it would. But then there is the part that you're talking about there, Mike, about the health benefits. We have the science to back this up. Volunteering is good for your body, good for your health, not just your mental health, but your whole health, your physical health, mental health, all the above.
Really is. And, you know, I think, you know, as we talk about how much we're in need in the different programs, it's not that we're needing you to be available 5 days a week for 5 hours mm-hmm. at a time. You know, it's kind of up to that individual volunteer what they want to do and how much they want to do. It could be one day a week for an hour. You know, so, I mean, it really kind of depends on what that person's lifestyle is and what they're looking to get out. And, you know, I would encourage, you know, people of all ages to come in and try this out as well. You know, again, we'll take people to help support this.
The way Mike was putting it, as far as the more people they serve, the more people they can help. And that's an important thing to remember with this, because for every person we can help, that's a person out there who's, yes, not getting a meal, just as importantly, not getting that human interaction, that right. human contact that we all need. And that we know, again, scientifically or just as human beings, we know how vitally important that is to a person and their lives. And every human being has earned that. Every person deserves that. Here's an opportunity for you to be a part of these things while also putting back into your community and adding to your health, adding to the health benefits of this. Volunteers are less likely to suffer from ill health later in life. Volunteering leads to better health. Volunteering activities strengthen social ties. There is no side effect to volunteering. It's not one of those things like every medical thing we see nowadays. Side effects may include, and then the rambling of like 50,000 exactly. things and stuff. Like, wait a minute, what was that last one? What was that? You know, it's not like that. There's no side effect of volunteering. To Mike's point, another reason why I bring up my experience with Meals on Wheels is because of their versatility with the schedule. I've got an hour and a half, 2 hours to kill. I don't have a vehicle. How am I going to do this? They start me off with one meal. And it was great. And I realized, well, I've still got a good 45 minutes or so here. I could probably do two more. Do you got anybody else in the neighborhood? And then I had one, and then I had three. And now I couldn't go any bigger than that. But that was they worked with me on that. And they were just as excited as I was. Not only the people that I was delivering these meals to, the staff at this organization. It just... It's some of the best people you'll meet, too, are people working over with the ADRC. And I'm not just your staff, of course, but the volunteers as well. I will say as well, one other thing, Mike, about volunteering. I'm sure you're either going to touch on or you'd agree with me on. We got a lot of young people out there. We're getting closer to the end of the school year. College college resumes, man, does it look good on a college resume having that, volunteering for Meals on Wheels. That's another great thing to put on there.
Absolutely, it sure does. You know, as I mentioned, you know, we'll take people of all ages. You know, we want them across the spectrum. But yeah, those young people, you know, either coming out of school or maybe they're in college right now and they want, to do some different things for their community throughout the summer. It's a great opportunity, and you have that opportunity to see things in the world through a different lens. So yeah, definitely would encourage that. And you know, if meals isn't, you know, something that you have interest in, you know, we do have other opportunities for volunteers. We're also looking for advisory members, which are individuals that, really provide us that insight into what's going on within the community and making sure that as an organization that we're addressing that as well. So we're looking for some of those members as well. So there's a lot of different ways you can volunteer with us.
Yeah, and I appreciate you touching on that, Mike. When it comes to that, when it comes to a lot of these things, we also know that the ADRC, while we love our ADRC here in Wisconsin Rapids, you guys are in Wausau, Merrill, Marshfield, and Anago. Well, we got listenership all over the state, too. So people listening outside of Wisconsin Rapids, this stuff applies to you guys as well. Is that correct?
It absolutely does. There's an ADRC in every single county in the state mm-hmm. of Wisconsin. So regardless of where you're listening from or where you're at, you know, contacting your local ADRC, they'll always gladly be there to help and you can always volunteer. Absolutely.
Speaking of contacting your local ADRC, Mike, how can people get a hold of you if they want to find out more about some of the things we've talked about today?
Yeah, so we have a toll-free number that you can contact, which is the easiest way for people to reach us. So our toll-free number is 888-486-9545.
And, of course, we encourage you to check out their website. Go to adrc-cw.org, adrc-cw.org. You type it into your search bar, you'll be able to find it really easy, and it's a fantastic website. Fantastic conversation, Mike. Always good talking with you. Thank you for the time. Say hi to your staff, the volunteers over there for us, and you guys have a great weekend.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Talk again real soon. Take care. Thank you again to Mike Ray, Executive Director over at the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back with more Morning Magazine for you right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
If you're talking, they will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
So talk, they hear you. You can do it if you try.
Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget their made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
Lincoln High School Theater and Music Departments present Nickelodeon's The SpongeBob Musical. Performances will be taking place Thursday, April 27th at 6:30 p.m., Friday and Saturday, April 28th and 29th at 7:30 p.m., and Sunday, April 30th at 2 p.m. All performances will be at the Performing Arts Center of Wisconsin Rapids. Tickets are $15, students with ID, $10. The Run the Rapids 5K Run Walk for Child Abuse Prevention will be happening Saturday, April 29th at 9 a.m. in Wisconsin Rapids at the Centralia Center. Registration for the event can be found on runtherapids.itsyourrace.com.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Daytime highs approaching 68 this afternoon under mainly cloudy skies, southeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers tonight, lows level off around 41, partly cloudy skies. Scattered rain showers again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 47, cloudy skies. A dusting of snow tomorrow night through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 52.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this April 28th, 2023. It is 10:33 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, behind the microphone. I am joined right now as we wrap up Morning Magazine for the week with an amazing set of guests. This is a perfect way to wrap up our week of shows. I want to send a shout-out to Pam Hilke with the great scheduling she does week in and week out. We have him with us, Craig Broren, Superintendent of the Wisconsin Rapids Public School System. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
Appreciate you being here. Craig and I are going to talk a little bit about the Lincoln High School open house that they just had. I'm looking forward to to diving into that. We also have in with us, and Tracy, if you wouldn't mind taking the mic there, I got to get this right. Ginter?
Ginter, yes, correct.
Oh, Pam, write that down. I got a last name right. Craig, poor Craig, I got his last name wrong so many times. Thank you very much for being here, Tracy. Appreciate the time. Tracy is the Rams principal. I know how busy, I don't know how busy that job is. I imagine it is incredibly busy. Thanks for being here with us today. We also have some students with us, and I want to let you guys introduce yourselves. I know you have a lot to tell us and share with us. So let's go ahead and just go right down the aisle here and let these guys introduce themselves. I'll start with you, young man.
I'm Carter.
Hey, Carter. Thanks for being here. You can say your full name if you'd like.
I'm Carter Braun.
All right, Carter. Thanks for being here. Good to see you.
My name is Maya Moody.
Maya, very nice to see you. Thank you for being here.
My name is Melina Hoff.
Melina, it's nice to see you, and thank you very much for being here. I know you guys have some stuff for us to talk about, and we're looking forward to diving into that. If you don't mind, Craig and I are just going to get some boring stuff out. No, I'm kidding. It's not boring. It's just fun, because I've made it known. I'm a Lincoln alum. I love the old stomping grounds of Lincoln High School, and I was actually really curious about how the open house went the other day. How did that go?
Yeah, it was awesome. So we don't have a solid count, but it was over 500 from what I understand.
Nice.
Community members showed up to that, and a huge shout out to the Lincoln High School staff, Principal Ron Rasmussen, Chris Weifel, his assistant there in the Lincoln High School office, and then there was quite a number of Lincoln staff that assisted. And then, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the outstanding students we have at Lincoln, because they were involved in the tours and multiple aspects of that commemoration and ribbon cutting. So it was great, and the facility is outstanding. You're probably not surprised to learn that there was very few ill words spoken. The people are quite impressed. Mm-hmm. People very much appreciate the update to more of a 21st century approach, which is more student-centered-esque if you're familiar with a college campus.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, we're not a college, but on the same hand, that flexible space and much more student-oriented than schools, high schools in particular, used to be back in the day. So it's phenomenal. And our architect, PRA, as well as our construction manager, Myron, did absolutely outstanding work. You can tell from the outside that it's phenomenal, and it looks even better inside, and it's great for kids.
How important, especially in 2023 and going forward, are these open houses?
Well, anytime that you can showcase what we have going on, and particularly when keep in mind that we passed a bond issue referendum, which allows taxpayers approved fairly overwhelmingly, which allowed that, investment at Lincoln High School and in all of our other facilities as well. And what I mentioned in my commentary there is that if we have schools, there is an attitude it was good enough when I was there. And I'm not going to debate that at length, but on the same hand, not paying attention to, where we are time-wise in terms of it being the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
And then also not paying attention to the fact that much like your home, you don't purchase a brand new home or even a, slightly used home and then do nothing to it for the entire time that you own it. And if you do, it's not going to be your home for very much longer. So you do have to make investments. And I mentioned that a good portion of the $19 million that was spent at Lincoln High School, whether it's fortunate for the building, but it's unfortunate for use-wise because it's infrastructure. It's non-glamorous. It's stuff that has to absolutely happen, HVAC, Wi-Fi, technology wiring, and those sorts of updates that are not glamorous or cool or that are even unseen. But they're so necessary, right? And if we don't do those things, and we have a school built in 79 and it becomes whatever, 2029 or 2039, people would look at us like in the board and like, what are you guys doing? This is kind of falling in upon itself. What are we supposed to do here? So that balance, I think, is pretty easy to meet. And then when you have a scenario in which it's very clear that the construction and renovations that took place explicitly benefit the kids, and then of course the community as well, as it being an excellent space for community use in a variety of capacities, it's totally worth it.
We have the science to back this up of how often we romanticize our own history, our own past, and so often, especially with school and when we were younger, there is this idea of, well, this was fine the way it was, why are we changing it, or something like that. Time only goes one direction, and I with a lot of the things you mentioned there, that Native American proverb pops in my head. We don't plant trees for us to see them grow. It's for them to see them grow. It's about them. It's about the kids. It's about the future. All of this is about that. Time is only going one direction. And if we don't go with it, they are the ones that suffer. It's not about us. It's not about us having what we want in a school or what we think is a curriculum or anything like that. What is the best thing for them? That should always come first. And it's great to hear that this open house, a lot of this conversation was created from that and everything. It's very cool. That's a good to hear thing.
It's really awesome. Good to hear. I think the broader emphasis too is just in a general fashion around the idea that, look, updates and investments in communities are what people want to see. So if we're talking about, you know, being a community that people want to move to and live in, having updated, relevant, and decent-looking facilities, including our schools and other things in the community, is huge. Now, sometimes those are public dollars, and sometimes those are grants or private investments into community infrastructure. But if we don't do that, there's no way you're going to recruit or retain businesses. There's no way you're going to find people that want to live here because it's incongruent. They can go now to a neighboring community that has invested in that capacity and use that as their paramount decision making. And I think the schools, of course, play a role in that.
Everything connects. And if you're worried about the economy, if you're worried about the population or anything, all of this stuff matters. What we're talking about here matters. One of the biggest things, I talk about this with Mayor Blazer all the time, all of our surrounding communities, one of the biggest things that's concerning them is keeping their population and bringing in new population. One of the biggest things, if somebody is looking into moving into an area, what's one of the first things they do? Look at the schools. Look at how the education system is. Are they putting into the schools? Are they taking care of them? It all connects. You want the economy to be better? Take care of our schools. Put money into education. This isn't rocket science. It's not that difficult. However, I realize, Craig, that I have done a bad job as an interviewer because I think we put the kids to sleep. I think that we have bored them. No, I'm kidding, guys. Thank you very much for putting up with that, you guys. And thank you, Craig. I appreciate that update. Thanks.
Thank you.
Mindy, I want to talk. Tracy, I'm sorry. Tracy, I want to talk a little bit about Rams, and especially for people. I wouldn't say Rams is new, but Rams hasn't been around as long as some of our schools around here and everything. And I don't ask you to give me the history of Rams or anything like that. I'm not putting you on the spot with that. I just want to kind of give people an idea of what Rams is and what that middle school is.
And actually, I can give you the history of
Rams. Oh, right on. Oh, my God, I love it. Oh, I'm already a fan. Oh, I love it.
So Rapids was set up with two junior high schools for a very long time. And the building, the facility that we're in was West Junior High School.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2000 when we looked at restructuring.
Was it 2000? Okay, I wasn't sure when exactly.
Yep, there
okay.
was some restructuring. And at that point, the West Junior High School building became a 6-7 middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually became Rams at that point. And East Junior High School was a 8-9 junior high school.
Mm-hmm.
We operated under that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then when our population was such that Lincoln High School could probably accommodate a 9-12 high school.
Yeah.
And we took a look at adding to our building. We had a sixth grade wing built.
Mm-hmm.
So with that extra addition and an extra gymnasium, then we kept our mm-hmm. eighth graders yeah, at that yeah. during that year. So we have been Rams then. Since then and have adopted in a middle school philosophy because junior high schools are high school prep.
Yeah.
Middle school really works to deal with the whole child, social, emotional, academic, and our students are awesome. And you're going to hear about the awesome things that they participate in.
Yeah.
That's why I brought them
up. Yeah, I really appreciate you doing that, too. And I'm so sorry to take you guys out of class. I'm so sorry to do that. How cool is that? Right, guys? No. No worries. Okay, cool. We'll just keep that between us. When it comes to the school itself, Tracy, one of the things that I think is very cool, too, about this is the connection with the high school and the interacting with our local high schools. And that do a lot of that, talking with the principals over there, the teachers over there, as far as making sure that you guys are all on the same page, kind of as kids go from middle school to high school, or that, or is any of that even done?
Oh, absolutely, our staff. We look at we divide up into elementary and secondary,
mm-hmm.
And we have our professional learning communities, our 6-12. So all of our staff. Subject areas, they can talk about their content and their curriculum to make sure that the scope and sequence is moving forward. But then at the middle school, we also have collaborative teaming where interdisciplinary teachers meet and talk about what are the fun things and the things that we can do for students as far as interventions and supports also. So so dual, you know, we are the middle child, but we really try to make sure that we have all of the supports that are in place to make sure that they're ready to roll too.
One of the things I love talking about with Craig is the transparency and the sharing of information. And I think that you guys know better than I do how important that is for families and for people out there nowadays. So I really do appreciate that breakdown. And I have to tell you, the kids, when I first moved out here, I went to East and loved it. But I had a lot of friends that went to West. And when we would go to for like seeing like speeches and things like that at West, I would drool at that stage. To this day, I would give anything to perform on that stage. If you guys have like a school play going on, you need like a third tree in the back, I'll just stand back there. I won't do anything. I make a great tree. I'm really tall. I make a great, just, you know, throw it out there to your directors. If, you know, I'm just a struggling actor looking for work. So if you guys need a third tree on the left, I'll play that just to be on that stage. It's a beautiful stage. It's also a beautiful area over the Rams. I go over there and pick up some kids once a week and everything, and I know the area a little bit. It's so spread out. I love the wooded area over there and everything. It's a great environment for kids.
It really is. We're sitting on right around 70 acres.
Yeah.
And so one of the nice aspects of our building is we can have indoor and outdoor classroom activities. Yeah. And we have the soccer field, the football field, the track. We have cross-country ski trails that run through the property that I know that the community takes advantage of. Mm-hmm. Our softball diamond, our baseball diamonds. So it is wonderful, and we try to take advantage of that. And it truly is a safe area for younger students.
Mm-hmm.
So we're tucked off a little bit right up the road from you, but mm-hmm. it is a great place for our building and for middle-level students.
Absolutely. We're going to take a really quick break because we got the heavy lifting out of the way, guys. Now we get to come back and have a lot of fun, all right? So come back. We're going to put you guys on the mics and talk to you a little bit. And we'll do that when we come back here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't. I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it.
I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Mainly cloudy skies expected this afternoon with highs around 68. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers tonight, lows around 41, partly cloudy. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 47, cloudy skies. A dusting of snow tomorrow night through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 57.
Welcome back to Morning Magazine, everybody. I got what you meant, though. We are going to have some fun today as we wrap up the show for the week. We have got some of the students from RAMS here with us. And one more time, guys, I'll have you guys introduce yourselves. And then I know you prepared some stuff, which thank you very much for doing that. I appreciate it. I got to be honest with you. Sometimes my guests don't prepare anything and I got to fill time. This is really cool. I appreciate it. It's a really fun way for us to wrap up the week. And again, thank you for being here. So we'll just go down the line, let you guys introduce yourselves, and then we can start with Maya. She has something prepared. So if you wouldn't mind starting us off.
I'm Carter Brond.
Yeah. And Carter, what grade are you in?
Seventh.
Thank you.
My name is Maya Moody, and I'm the eighth grader today.
Hi, Maya.
My name is Melina Hoff, and I'm in sixth grade.
Thanks, Melina. Appreciate it. And Maya, you had something to start us off.
Yes. So I will be talking about the clubs and sports at RAMS today. There are there are 15 sports that we counted between boys
15?
And girls. Yes.
Whoa.
There's a lot. And there's over 14 clubs. Ms. Ginter started us off with the amazing facilities we have at RAMS. We have 3 gyms, tennis courts, the 2 diamonds for softball and baseball, soccer fields, track, football. And also we use the LHS pool for swimming. We have boys and girls swim. I was actually in swim for the past 3 years, and it's so amazing. Mm. There's a lot of teamwork in there. But back onto the clubs, one of my favorite clubs to be in is Webb. It helps the 6th graders transitioning from the 5th grade to 6th grade, elementary to middle school. It's really fun. I love it because I get to go into classrooms and talk to the kids. And it teaches leadership for the older kids because 8th graders and I think 7th graders are starting next year to help too.
Very cool.
Another thing that helps the school is Teen Truth. That has done a lot of things this year, especially the compliment wall. I've seen people who've taken off stuff when they've had a bad day that says, like, you're doing amazing, keep at it. All these amazing quotes.
What's the compliment wall?
It's in the lunchroom. Mm-hmm. It just has a lot of compliments on it, and you can take them off. It's really just amazing.
Oh. Pam, we got to do that. That sounds awesome. Yeah, we got to do that here. I love that.
And then another club is FBLA. That helps kids explore business, learns how to speak in front of crowds, and actually the regional and state competitions were at RAMS this year on the amazing stage that you were talking about. And for my favorite club out of all of them is Forensics. I love speaking, obsessed with it. It's my favorite club. I love doing moments in history. I'm a history geek. One of my favorite teachers actually helped that, Miss Sugar. Amazing teacher. But another teacher I really have to thank is Miss Grover. She's retired now, but she really helped me get on my shell. But my favorite teacher ever that I've had is this year's ELA teacher, Miss Randrup. I've had a little friend drama, and whenever I need something, she's like, Maya, I got you. I'm always like the first person to raise their hand. I just love having her this year. She's an amazing teacher for me, and I always can share stuff with her if I need to.
That's wonderful to hear. Very nice job. Very good presentation. Well done. If you don't mind, just touch on one time. You talked about a transition class to help kids go into the web. Yeah. Would you mind just touching on a little bit more of that? That sounds really cool. I don't think we had that when I was in school. That sounds like a really cool thing.
Well, web is something that the eighth graders help with. I'm in web, actually, and there's a lot of kids who we learn fun games, and we just really help the fifth graders transition to sixth grade. It's amazing. I love it. I've been to classrooms like, okay, kids, this is what we're doing today. And it's always so much fun being in there and helping them.
Very cool. Maya, I was in forensics myself. I was in debate and a lot of those things. I think that a lot of it prepared me for this job right here. So for one, please take your time. I need this job. Don't take it from me. You're already really good. Like, I can't afford that, right? Just please, you know, wait a little while before you take my gig. But you got a good future ahead of you. You did a great job. You're already a good public speaker. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Who would like to go next? Carter? All right. Carter, what do you got?
I'm here to talk about the special events at RAMS. So our student council, one of our other clubs, they have done a bunch of different fundraisers. One of them was for our janitor, Mr. Termott. His wife had colon cancer, so we raised over $2,000 for him and his family, and then we split the funds with the Riverview Cancer Center. One of the ways that we raised that money was we had game tables during lunch. Mm. One of them, you had like different colored ping pong balls. You would bounce them into a muffin tin, and if the same color ping pong ball was on the bottom of the muffin tin, you'd win a prize.
Nice.
We sold wristbands at lunch, too. Mm. there was a penny war where pennies and dollar bills, they give you positive points, and you can give these to the teacher, like buckets, like they have buckets.
Okay.
And then silvers are negative points. The teacher that had the most positive points, they get to wear a crown hat, and the three lowest teachers with the most, with the least amount of points, they had to wear a poop emoji hat. So that was pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah.
We also had a kickball tournament slash family night sort of thing.
Big kickball fan over here, Cock. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
So the kickball, I don't think there was a fee to enter it, but there was games and stuff that you could play while you're not playing kickball. And so, yeah, they were just for, like, family to play the games, donate money. We also had another fundraiser for a former RAM student. He was a volunteer firefighter and an auxiliary police officer. He unexpectedly died of a brain aneurysm. To get money for him, we had a dunk tank out in one of our baseball fields. Teachers volunteered to go sit in the dunk tank. And so you could pay for, like, 4 or 5 balls. And so you could throw them at them and dunk your favorite teachers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
We had over $1,800 donated to the Grand Rapids Fire and Police Department.
Wow. Whoa. That is a heck of an impressive number. That is cool.
And then we also have just, like, fun things to build community at RAMS. One of those was the yard party. It was pretty early in the year where we had families and students to come and get in one of our fields, and they was capture the flag, and I think that there was just a bunch of games that you could play out in one of our fields, so that was fun. We had a hoedown. Everyone got all nice and dressed up for that one, within their cowboy hats and their boots. There was a conga line, and there was a dance circle where you, like, push someone in, they got to dance, and then they got to push someone in. There was also a Christmas sweater day where everyone could wear, like, a goofy Christmas sweater.
Oh, those are always fun. Yeah.
And we also have our very own student magazine, Visions and Voices.
Really?
Where there can be student artwork and or, like, student poems that you can, like, put into the magazine. Is it on our website?
It will be when it's published.
It will be on our website. Yeah. That's all a little bit about our special events at RAMS.
Thank you very much for that. That is a wonderful rundown, especially to hear everything all together going on. That's really cool. Carter, do you and your fellow classmates and stuff, do you get to contribute to these ideas? Do you be able to kind of help out and come up with some stuff yourselves?
Yeah, I actually ran some of the Penny War tables and the game tables. I helped make some of the banners and schedules for the kickball tournaments. And if you're in student council, you get to help with that too. That's another one of our clubs. So student council, you get together and, like, you come up with the ideas. Like, you vote on what games you want to play at lunch. And I think they help set up, like, ask the teachers if they want to participate in the dunk tank or whatever.
Cool. Very cool. And great job, Carter. Very similar to Maya. You're incredibly nicely done. Very good speaker. There's no way I was as good as you guys are at your ages in public speaking. Already ahead of the curve, young
Thank
man.
You.
Nicely done. Melina, I'm going to have you wrap us up here a little bit. Yeah. If you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit about what you got prepared.
Yeah. So I have some of the academic aspects of RAMS. We have a really good, like, rewarding system. So we go on reward trips. To go on a reward trip, you have to have no Fs and fewer than 3 office referrals. For semester 1, we had the choice to go to either Powers Bluff or the Boys and Girls Club. And the semester 2 trip is still to be decided. And we also have reset days, which are every other Wednesday. And it rewards kids who are doing well and as kids who have missing work catch up. We also have, like, a lot of academic help. We have the LRC, or the Learning Resource Center. There you can get help on schoolwork and take tests and make up schoolwork. And it's also, like, a calmer and more quiet space. We also have a reassurance room, which is, like, a place to regroup yourself. And we have something called RPT, which is RAMS Pride Time. Right now we're in something called 7 Mindsets. You learn about social and emotional learning, and it teaches you life lessons about kindness, respect, and things that help people be happy and successful in life. We also have academic check-ins, and clubs can meet during our PT. And we have a Fun Friday, which also rewards people and also gets help on, like, missing work. We also have a homework club after school every day, so that gets help on homework if you need it. And we have a lot of different classes that some schools don't offer, like foreign language, music, art, business, tech ed, family and consumer sciences, and we also have new drama classes next year. And there's also a wide variety of classes that helps kids choose classes at Lincoln.
Very cool. Wow, nicely done, Melina. Nicely done. Are any of those anything? Have you gotten to be a part of any of those, or you know, you enjoy any of them?
Yeah. So I'm in orchestra this year, and I play the violin.
Oh, it's my favorite. Oh, that's awesome. Uh-huh. That's cool.
And we also, I'm in family and consumer science this year too.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Thank you so much, you guys. I thought I knew a lot of this stuff. I am so much more well-informed. Our audience is so much more well-informed about what is going on with our Rams and that. And you guys did an amazing job here. Thank you so much for that. You just got one last thing to do. Got to say hi to mom and dad. Got to say hi to mom and dad. Say hi to your families out there. Let you guys go down the line here and do that. Carter, I'll start with you.
Shout out to my